Good evening and welcome to Italian Impact Weekly. I'm your co-host, Steve Stefano Mancini.
And I'm Claudio Relsano. And as always, we appreciate all of you tuning in. Steve, we have a returning guest.
We don't have a lot of those.
I'm trying to think if we ever did.
I think we had, was it Angela or Domenica? One of them came on because we did...
Angela.
We did the school and then they did the fundraiser.
Yeah, yeah. But today we have singer, songwriter, AJ Rags, AJ Raggianti. And AJ, welcome to the show again.
Thank you guys so much for having me back. It's so great to be back. You guys are the best.
We appreciate you. After I sent Steve your song, first thing he said, I should read the text, but he liked it. Steve, tell him what you said.
No, I said, this is going to be a hit. I'm telling you, it's a good song.
Thank you guys. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I like it, and I'm so glad it's out in the world now. I've actually held on to it for about 4 years before putting it out, believe it or not.
Why is that?
Well, so a couple of reasons. I wasn't releasing music for a while. We wrote it back in 2021, and it actually was recorded back in 2021 as well. And just held on to it for a while because there was a couple other things I wanted to get out first. And just finally decided that it was time to put it out there. So, yeah.
Now, you did make a comment, if I'm not mistaken, though, that you're working on more than this. This is going to be part of an album, or is this going to be a single release, and then you're still working on an album?
Yes. So I'm planning to release an album probably not this year, but maybe by next year. So I'll give you like a little quote-unquote inside scoop. Not really, but I'll call it that for now. The singles that I'm going to be releasing this year, I'm planning to release a bunch. The goal was every 2 weeks, but maybe every 3 weeks or every month, I'll release another single. And then at the end of the year, all of the tracks will be out, and then we'll compile them into an album of sorts.
Now, how would that work as far as, you know, the old days? I'm going to go back in time, and Claudia will remember this. The old days.
The 78s.
Right. Well, or I was thinking 45. You had the A side and the B side, right? And
right,
typically
right.
The hit was the A side. It was like, all right, we need something for the other side, blah, blah, blah. Now, when you sold that, there was also the time where you would put an album out, but you always had that one song that was designed basically to sell the album. So I'm curious, nowadays, everything's digitized. How does this work as far as royalties and... How do albums even work anymore, I guess, with everybody being able to individually buy stuff?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. So the streaming, like of Spotify, Apple Music, where you can just on demand, you pay a subscription, monthly subscription, you can stream a song, has really changed the way that musicians make money. And there's almost no money in streaming, first off. Like, I think it's a fraction of a penny that I get per Spotify stream. To give you like a little bit of an example, I logged into my distributor the other day, which is a fancy word for the website that I use that sends my music out to all the different platforms like Spotify, like Apple Music. And I surprisingly, and by the grace of God, found that one of my songs across all platforms has almost 2 million streams. Mm. And yeah, it was really cool because I didn't know that. I knew it had a decent amount on Spotify, but you know, combined it's pretty cool how much it had, but I made about $12 off of it.
Wait a minute, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I probably should ask you off the air. Steve and I are looking to do something, okay? Now, you said downloads. So if you got 2 million downloads, right? Downloads?
Yeah, what's the difference between a download and a stream in your case? I know where you're going.
Yeah, so a stream, like, for example, I don't know what you guys use to listen to music, but most of them work the same way.
A CD.
CD, yeah.
I do. Really, yeah, I do.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of
no commercials, AJ. There's no commercials.
You're right. Well, if you pay, not that I'm advocating for it, but if you pay for Spotify or Apple Music, you don't get any commercials either, depending upon your level there. But... the caveat is that singers, songwriters don't get as much pay per stream. So the difference, a download would be that you pay a certain amount of money. Like I think the standard is like $1.29 for one song. Mm. And you get to keep a copy of that on like your phone. And you can play it whenever you want, even if your phone's not connected to the internet. That's a download. And that, I think it's like, I don't know the actual percentage, but I want to say it's like 90% goes to the... to the artists and the songwriters. So that there's more money in downloads than there is in streaming. Now, like I said, streaming completely changed the way musicians made money. It's not really about how many people are listening to your songs anymore. From what I've heard, and I haven't had a world tour yet, but from what I've heard, most money is made on ticket sales and merchandise sales.
Right.
Just because of the difference in the way technology, and especially social media platforms like TikTok, have completely changed the way music is consumed now. You know what I mean?
Gene Simmons said the business is dead. And he said if he was coming in now, I mean, Kiss, and he kind of started, was one of the, I think, the first to really monetize and put their logo and their
merchandise
everywhere. And everybody criticized him, but they did pretty good with it. Now, it's a different story. It's just different.
It is different. It all kind of depends on, like, so for example, for this latest release, I've been trying to post 4 times a day on all my social medias. Not all of them, just the ones that I'm focused on. So that would be TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and I try to do YouTube shorts as well. That's what they say, what a lot of industry pros I've met with say you should do is when you're promoting something, 4 to 5 times a day. So I try to do that. Now, it's all based upon what the algorithms on, like, on those platforms like. I don't even claim that I know how to understand how the algorithms work, but there's certain things you can do, and if it for some reason likes what you're doing, it'll push your video more. So I guess the thinking behind that is I'm posting 4 times a day versus once a day. I'm putting more content out there. The algorithm likes that, and then it'll blow my video up. That's the goal anyway.
Yeah.
No, that's, you know what, that's kind of insightful, and I'll tell you why, because, you know, we were on the radio for a while, and Claudia and we went back and forth on this, and I'm old-fashioned, Claudia, we're a different generation, and so we've seen, you know, the transition from records to records and 8-tracks, 8-tracks are gone, records were kind of still around, then you went to tape, then the records went away, then you went tape CD, then tapes went away, then you went to mostly CD, CD's pretty much dead now, but over a lot of that was still radio. You know, it was all about airplay. Get your song played on, you know, on the radio, record. It's like we've just become entirely dependent on, you know, I don't want to say the luck of the draw, but it really is, what you kind of nailed it. It's just, we're like, you're entirely dependent on the algorithm. You could be the most talented person in the world, and if for some reason you can't get out there in front of enough people or get some kind of groundswell movement, no one will ever hear you. Whereas in the old days, if you had talent, that producer and your manager, they're going to be the ones going to every radio station, getting your record played on the air.
And you go on the late night show and you promote.
I mean, it's weird.
They're going to have the singer in your back of your car singing. That'll be the next thing. But it is hard. It's hard to make a buck. And to Steve's point, are you ever do you have a record label? Are you trying to get something like that?
You know, if the right opportunity came along, we talked about this last time I was on. I try to be a faithful Catholic, faithful Christian.
Right.
If the right opportunity comes along, if God wills for it to happen, then absolutely. I'm looking for a record label deal. But I honestly, the best way to do it, as my mentor always says, is going direct to market, independent artist. Mm-hmm. There's this artist. His name is Russ. He is a hip-hop rap artist. I don't know if he still is, but I know for most of his career, he was independent. And this guy is like selling out festival-sized crowds in Egypt, India. He opened for Ed Sheeran a couple of times this past summer. He's not signed to a record label. So all of that goes to him.
Right. I get it.
You know, so that would be the dream. Now, the caveat to that is you have a team, but you don't have necessarily as much support as you would if you had a label to help you do all the things that I don't like doing, like the clerical stuff, which is very important. But, you know, as an artist, you just wish you could focus on the creative stuff.
Well, to your point, though, nowadays, what could they do differently? What could a label do for you differently as far as advertising, though, realistically?
So, to my understanding, in the old days, it used to be that when a label found talent, they put all their money and everything they had behind it, marketing, they promoted all of it, promoted that artist until they got them going. Nowadays, it's totally different. the label wants you to have everything ready to go, so all they have to do is put some money behind you. You're going to do all the work. So, for example, they want you, they expect you to have a couple hundred thousand followers on TikTok already before they sign you. After they sign you, they'll pay for the things, but you're still going to do all the marketing yourself. You're still going to go and promote everything on your own. To my understanding, at least, that's the way it is. Now, again, I don't have a label deal. I have met with some executives and things by the grace of God through my mentor, Cherie Spoltori at Global Songwriters Connection. But it's totally different. People won't even give you a second look sometimes if you don't have the right amount of following. And conversely, because you mentioned you're waiting for this algorithm to pick up on you, you could be the greatest talent in the world. Conversely, you could be somebody who's not really that talented and blow up for whatever reason.
Jeez, we haven't seen that lately. I think the irony is I think there are too many people who are mediocre or even subpar talent, but what they've got, to your point, is they've either got some kind of following for whatever reason, or they've just got some kind of, and I'll say it's like some kind of social media appeal, but it's not talent. You know, I think we were talking about this last time. I can't remember if it was you, but I made a joke, and I said, if you ever look at the bands in the 70s, they're all ugly. Most of these guys were not good-looking guys. I mean, I kind of jokingly said, but I'm kind of serious. But they all were talented. They were all music majors. They all studied music. They knew how to write music.
But they had charisma. They had it.
They were good, but they could play. I mean, you know, you look at those guys now, nobody would sign a lot of those guys because they don't look the part. They don't look it.
Pete Rose on the baseball end may not have made it today. Didn't have a big arm. Couldn't run. Didn't hit for power. Wasn't exactly the most graceful fielder in the world. They probably wouldn't have signed him. But, you know, you said one word. Steve said a word, AJ, mediocre. And it's sports, in my opinion. Baseball is mediocre. Basketball, like even the March Madness right now. Years ago, there was about 7 schools that you thought could win the whole thing. Now there's like 30. Everything's mediocre. Music, I hear my daughter, she's 23 soon. I don't really like any. There might be one or two songs maybe. But we kind of fool around. We'll kind of, like if we're on a trip, I say, okay, play one of your songs. Now play one of mine. She'll play somebody. Now play Elvis or Barry Manilow or Eric Carmen, who unfortunately recently passed away. They were good, and they had an it factor. Today, I don't see it.
Yeah. It's definitely a different way things are happening nowadays. Now, I will say from – what I can see, because as I'm posting all these things, another thing they tell you is you have to like 100 posts a day to get more engagement on your own posts, which I don't keep track of that. I just try to do what I can. But as I'm researching for these things, it does seem to me, in my opinion, that while there is a lot of mediocre talent out there that is making it, the ones that are actually talented that get like that algorithm checking them out or pushing their stuff seem to do better in the long run. There's this new guy right now. His name is Benson Boone, and he's blown up on TikTok. Like almost every single one of his videos has over a couple million views. And for whatever reason, one of his first songs, which I personally really like, I like his music, just like took off. And now he's like building a world tour off of that. So, you know, it depends. He's got actual talent, in my opinion. Of course, talent is subjective. I guess you could say some people do, some people don't, depending on your opinions and tastes. But so again, the talent, if you got the talent and you got the algorithm on your side, I feel like you'll go further than other people that don't.
Now you tour though, yes?
Well, I've never actually gone on a tour. I'm trying to do a tour this summer. The goal is to go on a sort of a countrywide kind of a tour. I don't think I can say too many details because the person I'm trying to have help me book the tour hasn't gotten back to me yet. So I don't want to blow it out of the water.
Listen, we get that part. We know exactly what you mean.
For sure. So I think it's pretty promising, and I'm optimistic about it that it's going to happen. Because it was just an idea I had with this one connection that I have, and I believe that comes from God. So God willing, he'll make it happen.
Tell us about your new song.
New song. Okay, so my new song is called Lucky Loser. It's out everywhere. You can stream it wherever you listen to music. I do not have it on CD yet, though, unfortunately.
Or 8-track or tape.
No 8-track or tape. Although, you know, I might do an 8-track someday. Vinyl's back in again.
I still have my kid. I still have the records when I was a kid, by the way. Too. I still have mine.
That's hilarious. I love it. No, my dad's dad has had a huge record collection. Hundreds and hundreds of records. I actually am staring at his record players right in front of me in the room I'm sitting in Nashville right now. But anyway, so the new song, Lucky Loser, I wrote it in 2021 with a good friend of mine. Her name is Lauren Miller. She's super talented pro writer. She also produced the track for me. And so the title, believe it or not, was actually not my idea. It was my mom's idea. And my mom is not a songwriter, although I think she could be because she comes up with lots of good titles. But I just brought the title into this co-writing session I had with Lauren, and we kind of just started writing. I had a chord progression that was kind of throwback feel. So that's the way the track ended up getting produced. It almost sounds like a track that, in my opinion, could have come out of the 90s. The inspiration behind the song is it's essentially like a breakup gone right is what I like to say. So you lose somebody and then you meet somebody brand new that makes you grateful that you lost the old somebody, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So that's kind of why that's where Lucky Loser comes from. And just a fun little take that who knows, maybe will happen to me someday, but hasn't happened yet.
Now, let me ask you something, because there's a few times that you've mentioned faith, and I'm unapologetically a believer, and I make no qualms about that. I'm a good Catholic, and I actually do another show called Pentecost Today. It's with I work with the charismatic movement, and an interesting question for you, because being in the music industry, you know, we all joke about this. You know, people ought to sell their soul, you know, and all that kind of craziness. But look, there are some people in the music industry, and for decades, but some very bad people in the music industry, and it is obviously people would do whatever they had to do to, quote, make it. I love the fact that you're not doing that, but I am curious about something. Have you ever really contemplated any kind of, and I'm not telling you to do the Elvis thing where you put the Baptist album out, but have you ever thought about doing any kind of religious specific music?
I have thought about it, and I will do that someday for sure. I would love to do like a pop gospel album would be fantastic. Although I say gospel lightly because I cannot sing as well as gospel singers can actually sing. So, but I will do that someday. The reason I have not done it yet is, music is sort of a ministry for me in a different sense. It's almost like a call that God put on my heart to use secular music to help bring people back to him. Because people that don't want to come back to God or go to God are not going to search out Christian music. So for that reason, I haven't done anything. I have written Christian songs and with other artists and such, and I have not really written any for myself yet. But I'm definitely going to put an album out because it's such an important part of my life. I try to live my life by my faith, through the lens of my faith. And try not to make any decisions without considering what God would want me to do personally.
By the way, the irony, you just said something very good. You know, if you're trying to convert someone, the last thing you want to do is make a religious song because they're not going to be listening to it. So you got to slowly kind of give them a nudge, like, you know, and some lyric that makes them go, huh. And then
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's what I was going to say. Then you give them the nudge.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like a inspiration straight from the Lord. It felt like when I realized that was like what my mission was. But I'll be honest with you, I have no idea how I'm going to do that. But that's his job. He has to figure out the hard part. So I'm just going to try to make the best music that I can and follow the path he set me on.
No, this is good stuff. Because again, I remember the last time we'd spoke, you definitely brought up the your faith as being important to you, And I think in this, you know, in this day and age, it's a lot of people aren't prepared to say that, or they're going to be ostracized. And you're trying to get into a community that like isn't renowned for, you know, unless you get into the Christian, you know, elements of it. Well, that's a different thing. You know, like the Matt Mars or Mercy Me or all those groups.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, now you're with them and they're okay with that. But if you're going to go mainstream and say, you know what, I'm not going to say that in my words. I'm not going to put that in my lyrics. I'm not going to just say anything just to get a few more clicks. I mean, the fact of the matter is streaming 2,000 streams is not something to, you know, take lightly. That's a lot. And that's a phenomenal number. And it shows that, hey, listen, somebody's liking your music the way it is. So you don't have to compromise. And I think that's the most important thing.
Right.
And Claudio and I will tell you, at least I mean, I know I could speak. I've known Claudio a little bit now as – we're kind of unapologetic about who we are. And I'll bet if I had sold my soul and did things, maybe I could be a little more successful. But you know what? Life's too short for that. It's just not worth it.
Steve brings up a good point in the baseball end of it. Matter of fact, I'm doing a show after this, and that's going to be one of my topics. Don't just follow what everybody else is doing just because everybody else is saying it. There's for example, Steve's first name is Steve. It's not Mike.
Mm-hmm.
If 50,000 people say his name is Mike, it still ain't Mike. If 50,000 Italians have a saying, if 50,000 people say a stupid thing, it's still a stupid thing. And so to his point, you know, we are who we are, and but there's a lot of followers, which kind of leads to my next question. Now, there are athletes, for example, that when we're kids, we try to bat like or shoot like or throw like, whatever. Is there a singer / songwriter that you try to emulate or somebody that you're attracted to because that's kind of how you are?
Oh, that's a great question. In that, I have a few answers, but I'll give you the one that first came to mind. In that vein of as a role model and a talent, it would be Tori Kelly. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Tori Kelly. She's absolutely phenomenal, in my opinion, probably one of the top voices of today. If you've ever seen the movie Sing with the animals and the elephant that sings Happy Birthday, I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. Look it up. You probably have seen a preview of it before. She plays the elephant in that movie that just like riffs and runs with her voice like crazy.
Okay.
But she's my inspiration because she has always been unapologetic of her faith in God. And she doesn't primarily make Christian music. She's a pop R&B artist. She did put out a gospel album and it was phenomenal. But she's always talking about him in her interviews, and it's really encouraging to see somebody who's not afraid to do that. And I have found actually lately people talk about revival around the country. There seems to be more artists that are doing things like that. Another artist I just found, his name's Forrest Frank, and he was in a group called Surfaces, but he's been putting out some Christian music that's really, really cool. It's different from any kind of Christian sound you've heard before in that it's not, I hate to say this, but in my opinion, the Christian songs that I've listened to are phenomenal. They're very good. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them sound the same, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's making stuff that sounds like it could be a hip-hop track on the radio or just a pop track you listen to on the top 40, but it's a Christian song. You know, so no, I don't think anybody is doing that. I would say those two are probably in that vein people that I'm looking up to. I give long-winded answers.
No, not at all. But to your point about earlier when I said about a record label, but if you did sign with a record label, they'll tell you, hey, do this, don't do that. Real quick, years ago, Barry Manilow, 1984, I believe it was, his dream was to have a jazz album. It was called 2 a.m. Paradise Cafe. And he had... just like Mel Torme and just some wonderful, unbelievable people that he brought into the studio. So
love
in this
Mel
video,
Torme.
Yeah, another Italian guy. But they,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I love how Claudio gets that in there. Good for you, buddy.
Get that in there. But they would, all of them, I think Diana Schur, not Shore, I believe her name was Schur. But anyway, they were telling him, maybe you should do this. Maybe you should kind of do that. And why don't you? And he was very nice and he was nice about it. But he said, I know how I want to do this, you know. And it was a great album. And like with me with coaching, I know that I would not. When I was an assistant, I was a good assistant. But now being a head coach all these years, there's no way in the world I can go back to being an assistant. And I'm very particular right. who I have with me as an assistant because I know what I want to do. I know how I want to do it. I know it's right. And I don't go down the same lane as everybody else. And then I'm not right. trying to be different. It's just I see what I see and I know what works. Like in baseball, again, everybody's teaching the same crazy stuff because they're afraid to get off of that track. Because if they get off of it, oh, was he trying to be a lone wolf?
Or if it doesn't work.
If it
doesn't work, you say, well, you shouldn't have been doing that. You're right. doing your own thing.
Right.
Hey, that's a good point. Let me ask you something. You know, you're young, but you've been around a while at the same time. You've got a lot of experience under mm-hmm. your belt. When you look back to some of your earlier stuff, were you trying to follow a formula, or were you kind of like, nope, I'm going to be my own person from day one?
Right.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, first off, my earlier stuff, I will say, as I listen back on it, I very much like the new stuff better. but I don't know if I was trying to follow a formula. When I first started writing songs, I really didn't know much about writing songs because I had no experience doing it. So I guess what I did, I had a lot of good teachers. One place that I haven't mentioned yet is the Afro-American Music Institute, which is in Homewood, Pennsylvania. It's such a wonderful place, and I probably wouldn't be able to do anything other than opera if I hadn't gone to that school, honestly. But that's besides the point. My teacher there, my piano teacher, Howard Alexander III, he taught me the standard pop chord progression. Because I went in there saying, I want to learn how to write a song. And he said to me, well, do you want to learn how to write a good song, or do you want to learn how to write a Grammy-winning song? And I'm like, because there's a difference. Well, not always. Grammy-winning songs can be good songs, too. But if you're just trying to write the best song you can, there's a different route you approach it. So I said Grammy, because I got big dreams, you know. And he gave me this, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this before, 1-5-6-4 chord progression that most of the biggest pop hits of all time, of all timelines or use, and it might be used in different variations and such. So I kind of took that list and started writing songs using that chord progression. I have my piano over there. I could play it for you, but using that chord progression and then also listening to some of my favorite songs and seeing, okay, what chord progressions do these guys do? Now, I never would copy it exactly or try to follow, fit a mold, as you say, but my mentor, Cherie, always says, steal like an artist, which I think is some of the best advice she could have given me. Listen to the artist that you like listening to and say, okay, now how can I take this idea and make it AJ Rags, make it my own? And that is how I started. Now, the more I learned, the more I met with the people that Cherie was connecting me with, you kind of learn how to break the rules, so to speak. Can't really break them until you know how to apply them, if that makes sense. So there are some rules that I never would have broken in the beginning that I do break now, for sure. I wouldn't say I tried to fit a mold, but I did look at people who have had success and try to use their successes to help me find my own.
Well, I couldn't see how you couldn't do that, but to your point, right. at some point you have to kind of figure out how to deviate from that. When you're teaching something or coaching something, there's always a template you're going to follow. I remember my dad told me that, I don't know, I think it's like the five major chords. He says pretty much can play any rock and roll song with like five chords. Mm-hmm. And it's the same kind of
right.
principle. They did the same thing and they just tweaked it. And I remember I would watch these documentaries from like the old, you know, the late 50s and the 60s. These guys would go in to write a record. And they would be like, all right, we're going to go in and write a hit. Like they, there was no like, will this be a hit? It was like they knew exactly what they had to do, and it would be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to sing it. You know, you'll work on the lyrics. We'll put the music together, and then we're going to get a hit. And it was like there was no debating. Like they knew it because, again, they knew what, for lack of a better term, what the secret of success was to putting songs together that were going to make the charts or be fairly successful,
right.
especially if they had the right singers there at the time. You know,
right.
But again, then that's where you get somebody like a Brian Wilson – who kind of went off a little bit on the deep end, but again, that made it a little more unique, a different kind of music, but there's still mm-hmm. some of the same rock and roll stuff in there. You know, you can't not have that in there. Otherwise, you're just playing something off the wall.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's also certain people out there now that, so for example, sometimes I'll write story songs about like my personal journey, and all of my songs have something personal in them. I'm not saying I don't, but
that's the what thing makes about them good though.
That's right.
Exactly, 100%.
From the heart. But
the thing about commercial songwriting is that you can't write it too specific, at least at the stage I'm at, and I'll explain what I mean. But you can't write it too specific to yourself, because if nobody else can relate to it, then at least for pitching purposes, for like a label deal or like a publisher to pitch the song to major artists, you can't write it too specific or nobody's going to be able to relate to it. And I was frustrated when she told me that, because I'm like, well, Ed Sheeran's doing this. But she goes, well, he's Ed Sheeran. Right. He's at the point where he doesn't really matter what he releases. Some will do better than others, but it'll be a hit. I'm AJ Rags that only has 1,200 Instagram followers at the moment. In order to best set myself up for success, you know, the best thing to do would be, of course, write for my experiences and write things that are meaningful to me. That's not to say to not be an original. It's just to say, don't say, my name is AJ Rags and I only like a girl named Gina in my songs. You know what I mean? So that was an important lesson to learn, because early on I was like, I don't want to do that, but I get it now. And it's part of the craft.
Right. Well, you know what? When you said that, I thought of Barry Manilow, a lyric, her name was Lola.
I was thinking, looks like we made it.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how can people listen to your music?
Yeah, so you can find me on all social medias, AJ Rags, R-A-G-G-S, two G's, because that's my last name. And you can also find my music on most all listening platforms, so Spotify, Apple Music. It's also on Instagram, TikTok, Amazon, Google Play, Tidal. Pretty much anywhere you get your music, you should be able to find it out there. My latest single is Lucky Loser. It has a picture of my face with some broken glass on it, and you can find it everywhere.
I was going to say, I was wondering what that was, but I appreciate it. The song's actually very good. I like it, to be honest with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, the graphic designer that I have, his name's Rowdy, is Rowdy Domstead. He's phenomenal. A lot of the time when I have a new song I want him to make something for, I'll just send him a track and be like, I'll be honest with you, I have no idea what to do for this artwork. So he'll send me back a couple of ideas, and that was just the one he came back with, and we kind of rolled with it. So that's what we came up with.
Awesome. All right, AJ. Listen, once again, first of all, we want to thank you for being a repeated guest. Now, when you make it big, I think we said this the last time, Claudio and I, we get front row seats and some backstage passes, because I can tell you right now, your last song, or I should say, excuse me, your latest song, is actually a really good song. I like it. Folks who are listening, please go check out AJ. This is a very talented musician, you know, Pittsburgh guy, but, you know, he's just up and coming, and I'm just thrilled to have you on the show, AJ. So I do sincerely appreciate your time, and you've kind of reaffirmed something, that you do not have to compromise on your principles.
Nice guys can finish
first.
That's
right. You can finish first. You just keep doing, trust me, you just keep doing what you're doing, and the good Lord's going to take care of you in his time, not yours. So you just keep the faith, brother, and you'll be all right.
Oh, thank you guys so much. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I'd love to come back anytime you'll have me. You guys are the best.
All right, brother. We appreciate and continued success to you.
Thanks, AJ. All right, folks, we're going to be wrapping up, but before we do, Claudio has some parting messages for us.
Remember, you can hear all our shows on ItalianImpactWeekly.com and on CRSMmedia.com, and hear such great guests as AJ Rags two times, Mario Andretti, Vince Ferragamo, Vince Papali, Chris Corciani, and many successful businessmen and women in the Italian community. If you're looking to promote your business, please connect with us at questions@ItalianImpactWeekly.com. And if you don't, then we'll call Ralph to come get you. Anyway, not only will we air your commercials, but we can produce one for you, and we promise to give you as much publicity as we possibly can at a great price. Don't forget about my show, the Claudio Relsano Show. I've had such great guests as Rocky Blyer, Jim Rooker, Sid Bream, Dick Vermeil, Ken Griffey Sr., Robin Cole, Vinny Pazienza, Donnie Lalonde, many other great guests. And I'm also going to talk to a lot of businessmen and women on how they got back from point A to point B as well. Also, a boxing show, The Boxing Authorities, with Luther Dupree Jr. and Smoking Jim Frazier and myself, boxing's best show. You can check us out at keepboxingfree.com. And there's a new show that I'm doing, Real Baseball Talk, with Claudio Relsano and John Parrado. We're going to do our first show today. You can hear that on ClaudioRelsano.com, CRSMmedia.com, and ItalianImpactWeekly.com. So keep an eye and ear open for that. And don't forget about my book, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up, How to Create a Positive Winning Culture in the Field and in the Office. You can get that at my website. And finally, I have to read Let's Partee for KC Golf Event, hosted by Kennedy Catholic Family of Schools. Wonderful, wonderful people there. Please support them. The event is May 18th at 9 a.m. Shotgun start, Tam O'Shanter Golf Course, located at 2961 South Hermitage Road in Hermitage, Pennsylvania. Only $125 per player. I will definitely be there. Please connect with Maria Metters at 330-559-8891. I hope to see you there.
Thanks to Greater Pittsburgh Travel. For any of your travel needs, let Tom and the team at Greater Pittsburgh Travel know, and they'll take care of you. For more information, call 412-331-2244 or visit their website at www.greaterpittsburghtravel.com. For all of your plumbing needs, be sure to try Pellucci Plumbing. Nick and the team have decades of experience and will get you back up and running. For more information, call Pellucci Plumbing at 412-782-5050. And we want to thank the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. If you're interested in learning more, you can find their contact information on Facebook at Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. Again, thanks Domenica and the team at the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh for your support. And we want to thank La Scuola d'Italia Galileo Galilei, the only nonprofit school in Pittsburgh endorsed by the Italian Consulate. If you're interested in learning Italian or have your children being immersed in the Italian culture and language, be sure to give them a call at 412-404-7070. And that's La Scuola d'Italia Galileo Galilei. We'd also like to thank Chris Gonzalez from the Knights of Columbus. If you have any questions about joining the Knights of Columbus, reach out to Chris Gonzalez at 412-605-9074. All right, folks, again, thank you very much for spending some time with us. And before we go, I just want to remind folks, if you haven't been out to the website, ItalianImpactWeekly.com, please go check it out. You can listen to all of our previous episodes. And in a few months, Claudio, I will hopefully be releasing a historical documentary on Italian prisoners of war. You can go out and check that out on my Facebook site, and you can see the link out there on ItalianImpactWeekly.com, or you can view the trailer. It's out there on YouTube, and there is a nice GoFundMe page, because why not? So, Claudio, as always, I give you the last word.
We appreciate all of you listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. And as always, thank you, Mom and Pop.